Well, let me say that it does my heart good to see everyone. Right before, a little bit before services, I was afraid everybody had heard that I was going to be speaking tonight. I didn't see a whole lot of people, but it's good everybody showed up. So I'm glad everybody's here. So if you didn't think I was speaking tonight, sorry. But anyway, it's good to see you all. If you would, please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. If most of you were here last Sunday morning, we studied from Matthew chapter 25, and we studied really the first 13 verses. And if you remember there, that was the parable, we call the parable of the virgins, the 10 virgins, parable of the 10 bridesmaids, however you want to call it. And if you remember there in verse 13, Jesus was making the point, the whole point of this parable that he's given. He's trying to get the people to see that they need to be watchful, be alert, right? Notice chapter 25 and verse 13, keep watch because you do not know the day or the hour. Okay, and so he's speaking there about the day or the hour when the bridegroom is going to come back. Right, is when he's going to come. And remember, we made the point that we must be prepared when he comes back. Okay, if we're not prepared, you're not going to have a second chance. There's not going to be any other things. And so you've got to be ready to keep watch. And so remember that. Okay, and we're going to start in verse 14 tonight and kind of finish the chapter. But let's look there. Let's just read. We'll just read through. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time on the parable of the talents. I think Ben told me he's got a lesson coming up on that sometime, and so we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on that, but we do want to read it and go through to keep the thought here of chapter 25. So Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey, who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I've gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one also who had received the 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, You wicked, lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank. And on my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now that parable, we call it the parable of the talents. There are so many lessons, so many things to think about in there. But I want us to just quickly, I'm going to make just a few comments on it, and then we'll move on to the end of the chapter. One thing we want to keep in mind is that Jesus is carrying on the thought, okay, it started really all the way back in chapter 24. Okay, but he starts there in chapter 25 as we talked about the parable of 10 virgins. He's talking about being alert, being ready, being watchful. And then he goes right into the parable of the talents because he's going to explain to you what does that mean. Being watchful does not mean sitting back and doing nothing. It does not mean sitting back being lazy, okay, as the man that was given the one talent. And by the way, I want to make sure you understand that this talent here that we're talking about, it's not talking about his abilities. Okay? He was given money from his master. Okay? And you say, well, he was only given one talent. Okay? Everybody else was given that. Well, let me just break it down to you how much a talent is. Okay? Most people believe that a talent was about 6,000 denarii. Okay? And one denarius was a single day's wages. So 6,000 days wages equaled one talent for the common laborer. Okay? So that's somewhere, depending on how many days you count in a year that they worked, somewhere between 16 and 20 years salary, if you will, of this man work. So when it said he only got one talent, he only had one thing, that's a lot of money. Okay, I want you to think about it being a bag of money. He's given a bag of money to him. And he says, I want you to do something with this money while I'm gone. Okay, the other one, and he gave it to him according to his ability. The two talent, he had ability. He said, I'm giving you two talents. I'm giving you two bags of money. And the guy with five, he gave him five bags of money. This is my money. I want you to do something with it while I'm gone. Now that man that didn't do anything with his bag of money, he should have known he needed to do something. He made an excuse. He blames the master when he comes back. I knew you to be a hard man. You're going to do this. You're together where you don't sow and all this stuff. So I dug it. I dug a hole, put it in the ground. Guess what? The master could have done that. He didn't have to give him the money to do that, did he? If that's all he wanted done with it, he could have hid the money and been gone, all the money, and he'd come back and it'd have been there. He wanted him to do something with it. He wanted him to be faithful with his money. To invest it, to earn back more money for him, okay? That's the whole point of this, of what Jesus is trying to say. In being watchful, being alert, being ready does not mean you sit back and do nothing and be lazy and wicked, okay? Be watchful means to be faithful with God's talents. Notice it's God's money, okay? It was the master's money that he gave him. It wasn't theirs. He wasn't giving them money. Oh, here, I'm giving you this money. This is yours now. Do what you want to do with it. Okay? He was entrusting that money to them. Okay? So you have Jesus telling them, okay, let's be watchful. Be alert. Be ready. You don't know when that day is going to come, that judgment day, whether he's talking about just the judgment on Jerusalem or he's talking about the judgment of the end of time. You don't know the day or the hour. You need to be watchful. Be ready. Be faithful with God's talents. Okay? Now let's go on now. Let's go on to what some people call the third parable in this chapter. Okay? I'm debating whether or not it's really a parable or not. There is a lot of imagery in it. Okay? And some people call it the parable of the sheep and the goats. Okay? Or the sheep and the goats. But whatever it is, it's depicting a real scene. Okay? Alright, so let's read. Beginning in verse 31, and we'll just go ahead and read to the end of the chapter. So Jesus says, but when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them from one another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep on His right, and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even to the least of them, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they themselves will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Okay. Even though there are a lot of figurative elements that are found in this passage, including the passage like the sheep, the goats, etc., those things, it's still a vivid description, okay, of the grandeur, the majesty, and activities that are going to be associated with the last day when Jesus comes again. Notice in verse 31 again, but when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, okay, then He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him. He will separate them one from another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. I want you to notice that there, this grand day, when this day happens, with the day that no one knows the day or the hour, and that we're to be watchful, and that we're to be faithful while we're waiting him to come, just like the wise virgins were prepared to wait for the bridegroom to show. They didn't know when he was going to come. He was delayed, but he was coming, and they were prepared for it. That's what we're doing. When that day comes, when he finally comes, notice four things. Number one, Christ will appear in glory. The first time that Jesus came to earth, He came in humility, in lowliness, in poverty. But when He comes back, He's going to come in glory. Number two, all the nations will be gathered before Him. Everyone is going to come before the king. Everyone is going to come before him. And notice number three, all will be divided into two groups. All will be divided into two groups. And he says those that are going to receive an inheritance are going to be on the right side. And those that are going to be thrown into eternal destruction or an eternal torment are going to be on the left side. Now I want to tell you something. There's only going to be two groups. There's not going to be a third group. The ones that are riding the fence. Okay, or there's not going to be that third group in there where he says, well, okay, well, you get a second chance. or you're going to do this. There's not. There's only two groups. And then the fourth thing we want to see is this. Christ will explain the reason for the division. And He's going to announce the appropriate reward for each group. Now I want you to keep those things in mind tonight as we go through the lesson. Keep those things in mind. Four things. When Christ comes, He's going to come in glory. All the nations are going to be gathered before Him. All are going to be divided into two groups. And then Jesus is going to explain the reason for the two groups, the division, and announce the reward for each group. Verses 34 through 36. Notice it says, then the king was, and this is Jesus speaking, by the way. And I thought this is one thing when I was reading and going through this, notice the king, he's going to sit upon his throne. The king's going to say this. This is the only time where I understand in Scripture that Jesus actually literally calls Himself the king. He expressly says the king. The king is going to sit upon his throne. The king is going to do this. Notice what it says. The king will say to those at his right hand, come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then he says, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Now, I want you to notice something about this list. I want you to notice something about what Jesus is saying to these people. The ultimate mark of an authentic Christian is not his creed or his faith or his Bible knowledge, but the concern which he shows to those who were in need. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not trying to tell you that faith's not important. Okay, the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. I'm not saying that your Bible knowledge is not important. How are you going to know what to do if you don't have a Bible knowledge, right? You're not going to know the right things. You're not going to know what God wants you to do. But God's not going to ask you how many passages can you recite for me right now. Go. Okay? He's not going to stand up there on the day of judgment and say, okay, did you believe the right things in this? He's going to ask, did you show mercy to others? Did you have love for others? You see, the practical demonstration of love is the final proof that you're like Christ. First John chapter 3. First John chapter 3. John says it this way, in verse 16, we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. And I've got the wrong passage. Let me flip that over one more. Let's try that, chapter 3, yeah, chapter 4. We know love by this, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. You can say you love one another all day long. You can say you love Jesus all day long. But he's saying, show it. You've got to show your love. You've got to do it. Okay? James says it another way. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. You see, the word's important. It's important to know the word. It's important to know the truth. But you've got to do the truth. And so on the day of judgment, Jesus is going to come and ask you, did you do the truth? And by the way, he didn't ask them that. I just said that wrong, didn't I? He said, these are the ones that did the truth. Jesus noted that when they had opportunity to help someone in need, they did it. They did it. Nothing else need to say. They didn't parade it around. They didn't start bragging about what all they've done, all the wonderful things. They just did it. When someone was in need, they did something for them. Now, brethren, this is important. We've got to live out our Christianity. And we have people in need all around us. People in need all around us. You think about Jesus identifies himself with those in need. If you help them, he says, you're really helping me. Someone says, I'm a Christian. I want to live for God. I want to live for Jesus. I want to do things for him. Well, if you're wanting to do things for him, then do things for others. Do things for those in need. Everyone needs the gospel. Yes. Everyone needs the gospel. Everyone needs help. Everyone needs mercy and compassion. Jesus said, if you ignore them, you're ignoring me. Notice what he says to those on the left side. Then he will say to those that at this left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. I want you to think about the list. Okay, the list that Jesus gives. In this parable, or in this passage of Scripture, verses 31 through 46, this list is repeated four times. Four times this list is repeated. About being hungry, being thirsty, being naked. Now this being naked means they're in poverty. Okay? That didn't mean that they just come up there and they're naked. They were in poverty. They didn't have anything. And you did something. You helped them. Okay? They were a stranger. And you welcomed them in. Okay, I'm going to give you just the slightest example of that. Okay? Now this is just the slightest example of that. We've got a preacher coming next week. Not anybody, hardly anybody in here knows him. I've met him one time. But I don't really know him either. You got an opportunity to take him in and talk to him. Be hospitable to him. Okay, the word hospitable means entertaining strangers. Well, there you go. We got a stranger coming in next week. Here's an opportunity. That's the little one, okay? There's all kinds of opportunities we have to do that. To help people. But let's think about that. What would Jesus do? What would he be doing? Would he be just trying to ignore people and he just trying to, you know, do this? How did he act? See, Jesus came to the earth to show us what to do. There's not going to be an excuse. There was no excuse for these. Those on the left hand, there's no excuse for not helping. I want you to think about this. Those on the left side, these are people who honestly think they're sheep. Maybe you'd say, well, you know what? They had a profession of belief. Well, I believe. Right, I believe, and they believe the right things. Maybe they're even real strong on certain issues. Right? We gotta be right on these issues in this. Or maybe they're church members in, as we would say, good standing. But you see, they don't show mercy.
They don't show compassion. They're not being Christ-like. You see, the goats are the false sheep.
Really, were never sheep at all. See, Jesus didn't separate out. He doesn't separate out when He's going to come. He didn't say that He's separating the sheep from the wolves. We're not talking about the wolves, okay? They're going to be on that left side. But He's going to separate the sheep from the goats because you have to do that. Okay? What a surprise. You realize both groups are surprised? Both groups. Those on the right, when He says, hey, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. And they're like, oh, when did we see you hungry, Jesus? When did we see you acting like that? When did we see you in prison? When did we do these things to help you? And they're surprised, they're shocked. And He said, when you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. Those on the left are shocked too. We didn't see you hungry. We would have helped you. Right? How many of us here tonight, if Jesus was in the audience, how many of us would make sure that He had food tonight? How many of us would make sure Jesus had a place to stay tonight? You think we'd all come to, hey, you know, I'd be like, you can come over to our house if you want to. You know, me and Michelle, we don't have an extra bedroom, but I tell you, you can stay in our bed. We'll sleep downstairs. No problem. Not a big deal. We'd be doing everything we could, right? Because it's Jesus. And Jesus said, you didn't do it. You didn't do it to those in need. You didn't do it to me. It kind of reminds me, every time I've thought about this in preparing, every time I think about the rich man and Lazarus, and you remember the rich man, he's in hell, and he's saying, hey, send back somebody, right? You know, send him back to warn my brothers so they won't come here. And they said, hey, they got the law and the prophets. They got everything that everything that you had. They've got everybody's got the same Bible. Let them listen to them. If they won't listen to them, they won't listen if someone comes back from the dead. What a surprise. Surely the sheep would feel that the basis was that of faith. But it was living out their faith. That's what Jesus is after for all of us. I wrote this down. I found this last part right here. And it's something to think about. Strange thing is, not one is ever given the chance to say a word. The issue's already settled. Each person is simply told to which group he belongs. You see, you're not going to be able to make excuses on the day of judgment. Yeah, but you know what? Those people, they were not really in need. Okay? And that's why I didn't do anything. And so I got this, because I've been burnt so many times, and I've just decided I'm not going to help anybody anymore. I'm not going to do anything for anybody anymore because I got burnt a few times in that. How many of us feel like that? But you know what? What should we do? I'm not telling you to go throw everything away. Some wino out there is going to go out there and booze it up, okay? It's going to do with drugs or anything, okay? God expects us to use common sense, smart in that. We can tell when something's on the up and up, when it's not, okay? But when there's people in need, and there are people struggling, we need help. Someone says, you know what? The world tells us that all souls that have some moral fiber about them are fine.
They're going to go to heaven because God loves everybody. So in other words, those on the right hand, God's going to put almost everybody on the right hand. Everybody, almost everybody's going to be saved. Don't worry about anything. You're fine. Okay, well, the Bible doesn't tell you that, does it? Are we going to listen to the world or are we going to listen to what the Bible says? And the Bible says that the broad way is the one that's going to be on the left side. Those on the left side are going to be the broad. The narrow way is hard to find. You're going to have to work for that. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 79 says that we're going to have to obey Him. Obedience. Yes, these things are all important, brethren.
Not everyone, Jesus says, who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. We must be doers of the word and not hearers only. Which side do you belong tonight? If Jesus is going to come back tonight, and by the way, we're to be watchful, be alert, be ready, because we don't know the day or the hour when he's going to come back. And we're to be faithful with what God has entrusted to us while we're waiting. If He comes back tonight, which side do you belong? Which side are you going to be on? There's not going to be a chance, a second chance. There's not going to be something else. Which side are you going to be on? I found this quote this past week and I decided just I was going to put it in there. I think it goes with it. Eternity will be a long time to think about what you should have done. You know, when you think about the rich man and Lazarus, he still had his memory in hell. He still had his memory. Eternity is going to be a long time to think about what we should have done. Don't get so wrapped up in this world, brothers and sisters, that this world drags you down to hell. Jesus left us in the example how to live. Let's follow His example. Because one day He's going to come back and He's going to separate the groups. I thank you for your attention tonight. If you're here and you're not a child of God, please think about turning to Him while you have opportunity. If you're already a child of God and you haven't been living like Jesus, okay, you can make the change tonight and you can live out the rest of your life the way He wants you to live. I remember hearing one preacher say, and I've quoted it before and I'm going to quote it again, your destiny is not going to be determined what you've done up to this point. Your destiny will be determined what you do from this point on. You need to make changes. Please make them tonight. We can help you in any way. We urge and beg you to come while we stand and sing.